Welcome to episode 24 of the Warrior Soul Podcast. My name is Chris Albert. We often hear the quote from Hippocrates, "Let food be thy medicine." But in modern society, we have a reliance on pharmaceuticals. We have a reliance on treatments that cost a whole lot of money, and in many cases they've been demonstrated to be less effective than food. One such class of cases, I guess you could say, is that of brain injury. Traumatic brain injury has affected people from all sects of society. We often hear about it in sports. We definitely hear about it in the veteran community. It's one of the most common injuries that people face coming home from the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. And when you get a traumatic brain injury, as my co-host Andrew Marr and his story demonstrate, it can radically change your life for the worse. And yet, when we look at medical practice in today's society, our treatments for traumatic brain injury have not changed. In fact, it seems as if the medical establishment has done every single thing they could in their power to maintain the status quo, to keep us on the path to not really making any progress. Now, my goal here is not to badmouth the medical industry. My goal here is not to badmouth doctors. But it is to point out somebody who has gone against the grain and has done a massive amount of work to show that food can truly be our medicine. Dr. Michael Lewis has been on the forefront of looking at omega-3s as a potential treatment for traumatic brain injury. Not only as a treatment for after the injury has occurred, but as a way of protecting us from really severe symptoms that traumatic brain injury can exacerbate in our lives. I'll go through a little bit of Dr. Lewis's credentials, but what I want you to get out of this podcast is the idea that whether you have a traumatic brain injury or not, the information that Dr. Lewis has put forth can not only help you if you have the injury, it can protect you. It can prevent something very bad from happening to you should such injury occur. It can also help you to preserve your brain, preserve yourself from injury, and help you to live a better life. Dr. Lewis is the author of a book called When Brains Collide, and I highly recommend that you get this book. It goes through some case studies that he conducted on fixing people's brain injuries with omega-3 fish oil. He's an expert on nutritional and holistic interventions for brain health, particularly the use of omega-3 fatty acids for the prevention, management, and rehabilitation of concussions and traumatic brain injury. He's also the founder of the Brain Health Education and Research Institute, and he is a veteran of the United States Army, where he had a distinguished 31-year career, and he's a graduate of the United States Military Academy at West Point and the Tulane University School of Medicine. He's been on CNN and a host of other networks, and he was gracious enough to come here on the Warrior Soul podcast today to talk to us and our audience of veterans and civilians and warriors who want to make their lives better. So, without further ado, I give you episode 24 of the Warrior Soul podcast, Dr. Michael Lewis, When Brains Collide.
This is Chris Albert, and I'm here to remind you of one thing. Someday, you're going to die. Now, that's not some morbid statement or scary idea. It's a solid fact. Your time here on this earth is limited. And you need to be reminded of this as much as possible for one simple reason. To live your best life while you can. This is the Warrior Soul Podcast.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Warrior Soul Podcast. Today, we are excited to bring you my personal friend, Dr. Michael Lewis. Dr. Lewis is the president and founder of the Brain Health Education and Research Institute. He's an expert on nutritional and holistic interventions for brain health, particularly the use of omega-3 fatty acids for the prevention, management, and rehabilitation of concussions and traumatic brain injury. He started his research institute in late 2011 after returning as a colonel with a distinguished 31-year career in the U.S. Army. His pioneering work in the military and since has helped thousands of people around the world, and he's regularly featured in the media, including CNN's Sanjay Gupta, MD's show, and numerous radio shows and podcasts. Dr. Lewis is a graduate of the U.S. Military Academy at West Point and Tulane University School of Medicine. He completed his postgraduate training at Walter Reed Army Medical Center, Johns Hopkins University, and Walter Reed Army Institute of Research. He is a consultant to the U.S. Army and Navy, as well as several organizations, institutes, and nutrition companies around the world. And Dr. Lewis is also a founding member of the Pop Warner Youth Football Medical Advisory Board. His latest book is titled When Brains Collide. And I give that small introduction to let our audience know that, in a nutshell, Dr. Lewis knows his shit. Dr. Lewis, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. It's a great pleasure to be with you and be able to hopefully get word out to as many of our fellow veterans as possible.
Absolutely. That's why I'm so excited, because something is so simple yet revolutionary as omega-3s is so important, and we're going to dive deep into it, and we have the absolute man to do it today. And so, Chris, what are you thinking, man?
Well, just for the audience at home, I read your book, When Brains Collide, and it's really, really insightful. Can you explain a little bit about what omega-3s are and why they're so important and how you came across them as a potential solution for some of the issues people with brain injuries are facing?
These people write whole books about that. Well, in short, omega-3s are, most people think of omega-3s from fish oil. So omega-3s are it's where you typically find them is in fish, the longer chain omega-3s. But why they're important is it's basically what the brain's made of. So your brain's made of fat and water, and 30% of that fat are omega-3s, and DHA, or your docosahexaenoic acid, DHA for short, is 30% of our brain. So it's throughout our brain. It's incredibly important. It takes DHA to make a brain in the first place. And so to jump back a few years, when I was at the Walter Reed National Medical Center and teaching at the medical school there, I started hearing about the Sago mine accident, a coal mine accident in West Virginia, January 2006, and how this guy, the one guy that survived, how he was basically pretty much brain dead. And the neurosurgeon, a guy named Julian Bales, who people might recognize from the movie Concussion, played by Alec Baldwin, Julian Bales and Barry Sears, the Zone Diet guy, kind of got together and said, hey, why don't we flood this guy with high doses of omega-3s, fish oil, and see if it'll help. We got nothing to lose. And short of the story is he walked out of the hospital a couple months later.
Absolutely.
about a couple of years, so I started to ask questions, and I eventually got connected with Julian Bales, and subsequently have become good friends with him, serve on the Pop Warner board together, and I started getting asked. So basically, after I got to know that, I went to the head of research at the Defense Veteran Brain Injury Center and asked the simple question, is anybody looking at omega-3s from fish oil to help soldiers recover from traumatic brain injury? And the answer was, no, why don't you? And that literally changed my career, changed my life. I put up all the arguments why I couldn't and shouldn't do it. But I kept coming back to, you're the only one asking the question. And so it kind of carried on from there. And then I got a bit of notoriety a couple of years, 2-3 years later, when I got a call and basically was asked, and there was a kid, that an 18-year-old kid in a really bad car accident locally in the D.C. area. And he was in a coma, did not expect to survive. What I talked to the father about, the idea of maybe using omega-3s to help with traumatic brain injury. It had never been done before. And I did. The kid got convinced the doctors to do high-dose omega-3s because there was nothing else they could do. And the kid went to his high school graduation 3 months later. So it got picked up by Sanjay Gupta, did a big segment on it on his show. And and I eventually got frustrated enough with the military and all the roadblocks that kept getting in the way of trying to do research. So I eventually retired, had enough time to retire, and started the nonprofit to try to continue to educate people and hopefully influence or even fund research if I had enough funding, but at least be able to influence the research and give me a platform to get this word out.
Yeah, Dr. Lewis, what is the resistance that you're finding both in the medical community and in the Army specifically? Because we're talking about a natural substance here that the brain's naturally made of. So that always, well, I say it never ceases to amaze me to hear that, but I'm interested to hear what your resistance has been.
Well, there's two areas where there's been resistance. And, like you said, with the medical field in general and then the military also. So one of the first things I had to do was when I started asking the questions, like I said, I really didn't know anything. I didn't even remember what an omega-3 was. I had to basically go back and teach myself and learn. And I'm not a neurologist, so I had to learn, and kind of relearn things about the brain that basically had forgotten long since forgotten from medical school. And the idea was I had to teach myself. So I had to go out and find the experts who knew anything about it. And there weren't many. Julian Bales was one, Barry Sears, another, but there's very few people. And actually still today, very few people that are looking at omega-3s and traumatic brain injury or concussions. And so one of those got to network and find out who knows what and learn. Led me to a psychiatrist at the NIH. And as we were getting to know each other, he said to me one time, well, if we could just draw blood on people before they commit suicide, we could answer a bunch of questions. And I'm like, well, that's easy. Why didn't you say so? And of course, He looked at me like I was nuts. But every time we get blood drawn in the military for HIV testing, pre-deployment, post-deployment, all that stuff, they don't throw that blood out. They actually send it to a huge freezer in Silver Spring, Maryland. There's 50 plus million specimens. I probably have, two dozen specimens. You guys probably have a couple dozen specimens in there as well. So we're drawing blood all the time. And so basically went to that group and asked for 100 documented blood from 100 documented suicides over an 8-year period starting in 2002, because we wanted to be after we had started to go into Iraq and Afghanistan. And what we found was And then we did 800 well-matched controls. And what we found was low levels of omega-3s and DHA in particular were very associated with suicide. In fact, there was we measured it to be a 62% increased risk of suicide just with low omega-3 levels in the blood, something that could be changed for pennies a day. And that got picked up by the press, and I ended up being called into the Pentagon and sitting at Four Star's desk briefing him on this, and I thought we were moving somewhere, and it just all of a sudden radio silence afterwards. And when he retired, I called him up on his personal cell phone because he had given me his number and said, what happened? And he said, exactly what you told me not to let happen. The medical corps got in the way. They kept throwing science in the way as roadblocks of why we shouldn't do something. And they would rather do nothing than to try something that wasn't complete. You know, there's not the studies out there that show that it's proven. And there's not studies because it's not a pharmaceutical. Who's going to pay for it?
Yeah.
You know, it's got the generic problem. If you spend $25 million doing a clinical study as a company, you could go to CVS or Walgreens or Safeway and buy fish oil. So there's no financial incentive to do the studies. So the other resistance on the medical side, that kind of combined gets over to the medical side. The other resistance is, again, it's always, there's no proof that it'll work. It might do, and the other one that drives me crazy is it might do harm. You got a kid in a coma being told, the parents being told, pull the plug, let the kid die, but fish oil might cause harm. I mean,
ludicrous. It's,
as absurd as that sounds, that's the most common thing.
Yeah.
That's insane to me, given the commonality of traumatic brain injury in the wars we've been in over the last decade, that the military has not been willing to take a risk and do some research there and to really try to look into this. I mean, is there – I mean, I know I'm getting into a little bit of the dark part of how – we produce treatments and medications, but can't we like enlist the Fishermen of America or something like that where they can actually lobby for this kind of thing or anything like that?
You have to be able to overcome the medical establishment, and nowhere is that more traditional than in the DOD and the VA. And so things like hyperbaric oxygen, you know, you've probably seen and heard all that controversy. Fish oil, omega-3s are, you know, not a whole lot different. They're just, there's no proof that it works, but yet nobody's really willing to fund the studies to be able to do it. And you can't really do it in the military because there's just not enough, believe it or not, there's not enough trauma in the military to be able to do that. So, you would have to go out. So there's great studies that are starting to come out, you know, with TCU down in Texas. Mm-hmm. Did a great study with their football team, and they put their entire football team on different doses, including placebo of DHA. And what they found was the number of concussions in the 2014 season were cut in half, but too small a number. But they were actually able to measure follow blood markers that showed the somebody that wasn't getting the DHA, these blood markers went up over the course of the season. But any one of the groups that was on DHA, those blood markers did not go up at all. So it was a proxy for exposure to head injuries or banging your head, not necessarily concussions. And they found it was a huge, tremendous impact on improving that. So there are studies out there being done. It's slow.
And what is the current standard of care? What are they doing right now? I mean, I think I heard you say on another podcast that you thought we were, as far as technology goes, doing the same thing we did 500 years ago, and somebody else said, no, it's 1,000 or something like that.
Well, if you look at what the CDC recommends, and they in many ways have the sort of the go-to place for advice. And if you look at the three recommendations the CDC says is rest, take it slow, and talk to your healthcare provider, who probably doesn't know anything anyway. Right. And so. You know, and I've got a small private practice, and I've tried to deal with insurance, and I've just given up. I won't even deal with insurance anymore because they say, oh, you're not practicing standard of care medicine for this. I'm like, great, tell me what the standard of care is. Mm-hmm. There is none. So how can you practice standard of care medicine when there is no standard of care? It's incredibly frustrating, but you know, it doesn't make it any less important. We've got so many of our fellow veterans out there that are suffering, and there's ways to deal with it.
Yeah, I want to highlight what a couple segments back we were talking about Dr. Lewis's workings with the four-star general. In the book, they go real in-depth in that story, and it's a really good story. So I highly recommend you guys out there picking up the book. You're really going to – it's an entertaining story with a general that won't be named. But I want to jump into nutrition, and I want to read a quote from Dr. Lewis's book on nutrition that I think really gets to the heart of the issue. Here it goes, and I quote, "The biggest reason why they have these misconceptions is basically because when we entered the era of antibiotics and vaccines after World War II, medical schools ceased teaching nutrition because pharmaceuticals seem to have many more answers. How do I put this? We're no longer a healthcare system. We're a disease care system. Nutrition is vital for health, but not considered important to treat disease. A large part of this mentality is because we're victims of our own successes. Though they produce important tools, the pharmaceutical, vaccine, and antibiotic industries have grown so powerful that the need to teach nutrition in medical schools has fallen by the waysides." End quote. You know, and with that, Dr. Lewis, can you touch on the difference between omega-3s and omega-6s and, you know, kind of the all the difficulties and epidemics that Western civilization is suffering as a result of high omega-6 diet?
A lot of it springs from that, what you just talked about. We're a victim, unintended. I'm not a conspiracy person at all. And so I would absolutely quantify it as unintended consequences of our actions. And while we can put a man on the moon and we can eliminate polio and other infectious diseases with vaccines, we're still left with a lot of this chronic disease. And so the question that should be asked is not how do you treat these chronic diseases, but really take three steps back from there. How do you prevent them? How do you interrupt that process earlier on so that you're dealing with prevention, that you're dealing with the causes rather than waiting until it's a disease? And that's, unfortunately, that's what our healthcare system pays. The physicians, the hospitals, the insurance companies, they get paid for treating the disease process after it's already occurring. Nobody gets paid for preventing it. And so you've got to go back to what are the risk factors and why are these things happening? And this is not the only one, but it's one. You know, we could talk about sugars and carbohydrates and you know, things like that. But well, let's focus on, you brought up the idea of omega-6s and omega-3s. And so they're both fats. They're both polyunsaturated fats. And what have we been told, you know, over the last 10 to 20 years is that polyunsaturated fats are all good. Well, that's not true. Omega-6s are polyunsaturated fats. They come from vegetable oils. It's in our animal feed. It's everything. Omega-6s are incredibly shelf stable. Omega-3s, on the other hand, are very unstable and can spoil very quickly. So which one are you going to use to process food so it sits on a store shelf for 3 years is going to be omega-6s. So it's in everything, and it's really changed a lot in the last 30, 40 years. The amount of soybean oil in particular that's escalated, skyrocketed since around 1970. Why is that important? Omega-6s are very pro-inflammatory. And omega-3s are meant to balance those. They're relatively anti-inflammatory, and it's meant to be a balance between those sixes and threes, and that's how mankind developed over tens of thousands of years, was in balance. We're meant to be in balance. And when I did that suicide study with the NIH, we came up with a ratio, the omega-6 to omega-3 ratio in our military population. We came up, it was 25 to 1 in favor of the pro-inflammatory thrombotic omega-6s. And if you ask the question backwards a couple of times, why, it's, you know, why are we having these chronic diseases? When we were kids, nobody had allergies and asthma and, you know, and obesity was not, you know, there was a, you know, a little bit, but not like it is today. And there's a very good correlation that it has to do with our omega-6 intakes and subsequently our balance of omega-6s and 3s. You are what you eat, and we're not eating well. And the food supply is not treating us well either.
So 25 to 1, Dr. Lewis, what would be an acceptable ratio or range of omega-3s to omega-6s?
It really should be under 5 to 1. 5 to 1 or better.
Yeah.
And that's where it should be. And so, well, let's cut out omega-6s. Well, great. That's really important. And everybody should try to do that as much as possible, eliminating the vegetable oils and eating a bit more vegetables and, you know, fruits and vegetables and less junk food and all this and all that. That's all great. But remember, it's fat. And so the half-life of fat in our bodies is measured in months, you know, or even years. So you could cut out the omega-6s as much as you want, if you can, given the food supply. Again, that unintended consequences, but it's going to take years for your omega-6 levels to come down. I look at it, okay, but the balance, how do we deal with the other side of the coin? How do we increase our omega-3s quickly? And if, you know, as you know, you come to see me in a clinic and, you know, you're a veteran, you're suffering with headaches and concentration issues and brain fog and, you know, on and on and on. We can list all the concussion symptoms that a lot of our fellow veterans have. I'm not going to wait 2 years for you to decrease your omega-6s, if that might even help, and it's something that needs to be done. I'm going to flood you with omega-3s to get that balance back as quickly as possible. And typically at the doses I use, people very often have positive beneficial responses within 2 to 3 days, even sometimes the next day. So we can really dramatically improve somebody's mental well-being very quickly, but it takes high doses.
Yeah, and what we're talking about here really is it has a lot to do with the brain because, as I read in your book, much of the brain is made up of omega-3s, but also the entire body and performance, because you raise your inflammatory levels, you can also make yourself prone to injuries, the symptoms of autoimmune diseases and things like that. But my question for you is, so for that typical infantryman out there, or that typical soldier, Marine, who – you know, right now when they're out in the field, they're living off of MREs. When they're deployed, they're living off of MREs, which I'm pretty certain are full of omega-6 and a whole bunch of other things. What kinds of things could they do to protect themselves? Are there certain shelf stable omega-3s they could take with them? Things that they could carry with them, or, you know, certain products that they could.
Most fish oil capsules will. Actually, in spite of popular belief, as long as you're not exposing those capsules to direct sunlight, they'll take a certain amount of heat and still be okay. So you know, in the book, I tell a couple of stories of soldiers who had rejected the military feed. In one case, basically was making his own MREs to take out on patrol in Iraq. And the other case was a EOD guy in Afghanistan who his mother was sending him bottles and bottles of fish oil, and he was taking them on a daily basis. And so you can protect your brain. You can, before an injury, you can really improve that ratio, and it's protective. Julian Bales and I published a study in the journal Military Medicine, basically saying that every soldier and athlete should be taking essentially like 5 grams of fish oil a day in order to protect their brain and decrease the increase the resilience, decrease the susceptibility to a brain injury. And if one occurs, then you have a better ratio of omega-3s already on board to help deal with the aftermath.
You know, and you spoke a lot about it in the book, referring to what we call, you call the neuropermissive environment. And so what I'm understanding is, one, there's a preventative phase that you can do, and also keeping that brain in a neuropermissive environment if you are susceptible to a head injury, or when it, if and when it does happen, you can now implement the Omega protocol and return to that neuropermissive environment at a quicker pace. Is that correct, Dr. Lewis?
Absolutely correct. And interesting that you mentioned, well, what other benefits might an infantryman see, for example? Well, there's two places that the body concentrates, actually three, but we'll leave the third one for something else.
I get the idea.
Thinking with both heads here, right? Anyway, the two most concentrated areas of DHA, omega-3s, are the brain, and even more so is the eye, the retina. And so what kind of benefits might an infantryman or a rifleman see is better night vision, calmer under pressure. You know, so let's take that into, you know, our world. You've got a sniper set up at night. Wouldn't you want to have better night vision and calm under pressure to be able to distinguish, you know, when am I going to pull the trigger and when am I not going to pull the trigger? And so that's in addition to the mental health aspects of it. Imagine if we had better night vision and calmer under pressure when you're out on a patrol or on the line.
Absolutely. You know, and Dr. Lewis, we spend millions of dollars training, you know, operators. So a lot of time and energy is invested there. And it never ceases to amaze me how we're unwilling to invest more, that the return is absolutely huge return on just small amounts of preventative care. You know, I mean, look how much we put into our preventative care of our weapons, of our vehicles, of our aircraft. The body is the same thing. Human capital is supposed to be the most important thing. I think oftentimes we're overlooking it.
Well, it's funny. I was, before you had said that, I was kind of going to go down that same line. Is you think about the culture in the Navy and it's in the Air Force, and it's very equipment focused, you know, ships, planes, and so on. Whereas the Marines and the Army, the most important tool in the entire Marine Corps or the Army is that human person. I mean, you got to have boots on the ground. Otherwise, you're just kind of fooling yourself and or the country or whatever. So, the human capital. What it took me back to was a little bit of peek behind the curtain in your world, Andrew, was when I was teaching at the medical school, I was involved. I was on the DOD Dietary Supplement Committee, and we were asked to come down to Fort Bragg behind the fence to work with the Delta guys. And what they were having a problem with, they basically, we have an unlimited budget, any equipment, any weapon system, any body armor, anything. unlimited budget. We either buy it off the shelf or get it made, you know, and whatever. But it absolutely was a dead solid line to the point of like, but nobody, they will not give us any budget, will not allow us to do anything that we take internally. And we neglect the most important thing, which is the inside, not just the body armor on the outside. And so what we were asked was to provide, and what, and their biggest thing is on their 3 months rotations in theater, what they were finding is the guys that were supplementing, particularly with protein, were maintaining their edge during the 3 months, but the people that weren't were losing weight and losing their combat edge over that time. Because you think about when are they operating? You're operating at night. When are the mess halls open? During the day. You know, so there's a mismatch of food and this, that, and the other. And so basically we gave them a scientific cover to use unit funds instead of their own personal combat funds or their own personal pay to buy protein to maintain their weight and maintain their edge. And that's in our tip of our spear. That's our most elite warriors that we're not taking care of the inside. The inner armor, as it were.
That's crazy. Dr. Lewis, what would you say to people who claim that, I'll just say vegans. What would you say to vegans who claim that in human evolution, we were never meant to eat animal sources of fat or protein or anything like that, and who rely on evolutionary arguments to say that, you know, we wouldn't have had these kinds of sources of fat back in the day or things like that?
That you just brought up. The reason why I'm chuckling is that you brought up the concept of evolution. And I've gotten to, over the last couple of years, one of those leading experts in the world that I've gotten to know is a guy named Michael Crawford, a professor out of the UK. And when Professor Crawford was a young physician working in Africa, he came to the conclusion that the evolutionary theory has got to be wrong. There's no way mankind could have come out of the plains of Africa. And then he set out and then proved it and essentially has completely changed the evolutionary theory. And in fact, I heard stories where he was given a lecture and the guy, and I got to look it up who the guy is, but basically the guy that was the creationist or evolutionary theory guru was in the audience, and he stood up after Michael Crawford talked, and I'll tell you what he said in a second, but he said, you know what? You're absolutely right. My theory is wrong. Your theory of evolution is actually correct. Wow. And what he said was we could not have come from the plains of Africa without access to long-chain omega-3s like you get from fish. And so he then went out and proved that mankind developed not on the plains of Central Africa, but on the east coast of Africa where they had access to saltwater fish.
Wow.
I'll get one big extreme. You know, you take a rhino, the size of a rhino. A rhino eats a ton, 2,000 pounds of grass a day. Very high in omega-3s, but they're short-chained omega-3s. A rhino's brain's the size of a walnut. So yeah. You don't get – so the problem is mammals, humans being, you know, obviously a mammal, that conversion of those leafy green vegetables and short-chain omega-3s has been measured as low as 1%. Even actually, I know one person that did a, you know, radio-labeled, you know, tracer – consume it, and only 0.04% of that short-chain omega-3s ended up in the brain. Less than 1%. So vegans tend to have the lowest and worst omega-3 levels of anybody measure. You talk to anybody that runs these labs, and they have the worst levels whatsoever. And my best responses have been to give vegan women, middle-aged vegan women, you give them omega-3s, they're like, wow, I didn't know I was supposed to think this clear and be this calm. It's like turning on a light bulb. So well, one of the questions is going to be, what's the source of, so what do you do?
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, somebody back in the NASA space program in the 80s asked the question, well, where do fish get their omega-3s? Well, they get it from eating algae, and they process it because they're not mammal. They can process it into the longer chain omega-3s. So this NASA space program set out to figure out what algaes around the world have the most omega-3s. And then they canceled the program. But luckily, the scientists went on, started a company with VC money, and they figured out how to grow this algae in like million-gallon stainless steel tanks and extract the oil directly from it. So it never touches fish. So it's halal, vegan, kosher, et cetera. And that company, Martech, got bought out by a Dutch conglomerate, DSM, a few years ago. But you can still find it at martech.com, M-A-R-T-E-K. And where they really made their money is 99 to 100% of all infant formula in the United States has Martech DHA in it.
Wonderful.
And that important for the development of a brain, even after you're born. So it's vegetarian or vegan DHA is certainly available. Horizon Milk, for example, with DHA, there's yogurts and stuff like that. There's all kinds of foods out there that are starting to use this vegan DHA. So it is available out there.
Dr. Lewis, what's your recommendation as far as preventative maintenance with omega-3s for children? Is that safe to do? And I'd like to talk about that because I know our audience, this is a sensitive issue.
There's a lot of great study, a lot of great products out there particularly for kids. There's sort of like the ketchup packet size, gels or goos, were really popular a few years ago for athletes on the glucose and sugar side, to maintain while you're out running a marathon or whatever. So there's things like that. There's good flavored liquids. Not all fish oil tastes horrible. If it tastes bad, it's not a good fish oil. Mm-hmm. Good fish oil should taste good. Might have a slight aftertaste or whatever, but good fish oil should taste good. So it's really, really, really important for kids in particular. And I mean, has anybody heard of ADHD or ADD out there?
Yeah.
Okay. It's probably ADD is probably, I won't say, one-to-one correlation, but closely related to omega-3 levels. And there's actually really good studies that show supplementing ADHD and ADD kids with higher levels of omega-3s actually is more effective than a lot of the medications, the pharmaceuticals. Same thing with depression, mm-hmm. the kids or adults. Omega-3s are actually more effective than our SSRI antidepressants if used in the proper levels. The problem is a lot of these studies will, take a capsule a day or whatever. It's not enough. I had two teenagers. I got a 16-year-old starting running back on the high school football team. He doesn't leave the breakfast table without taking 5 capsules of good quality fish oil every single day. And my daughter, who's a high-level dancer, to keep the inflammatory, same thing. That's 5 capsules of good fish oil every single day. And I would say down to, depending on how big the kid is, to 10 or 12 years old. If they're approaching 80, 90, 100 pounds, put them on the adult dose. There's no harm in it. It's not going to hurt them. And so when you get younger, you've got to come a little bit more creative, whether it's liquids or the gels or even gummies. I've one saying that when it comes to fish oil or omega-3s, some is better than none, mm-hmm. but more is better than some. So whatever you can get in them.
Clearly, Dr. Lewis, the benefit is there. There is essentially no downside and all upside. So I just want that to be clear to our audience out there. This is beneficial to your life, to your children's lives, and it's relatively easy to enact.
Absolutely. And, you know, like I said, I've got a 16-year-old who's playing football. You know, why is a concussion doctor letting his kid play football? Well, because yeah. Because life is a team sport.
Absolutely.
Why not learn it on the field? I mean, half the military, played football in high school anyway. So maybe that explains a lot. No, just kidding. You mitigate the risks, and part of that is that inner armor. So how do you improve the resilience of the brain to withstand injury in the first place? And the best way is on the omega-3 side of things. I also do other things like a Kevlar insert for his helmet helps diffuse the impact, any impact, and a good mouth guard that, you know, locks the jaw in place. You breathe through the middle. It's a dual arch mouth guard. So you do those types of things because you want to protect your kids, but you also don't want them sitting on the couch all day playing Xbox. You want them out on the fields playing sports. You know, I get really irritated about this concept of we need to stop football. That's great because then soccer will be next and ice hockey will be after that. And at what point do we, you know, throw in the towel and just have our kids sit in the bubble?
Well, I think now, too, thanks to your work and other pioneers in the field, you know, there's such an emphasis on concussion today, but almost as a scare tactic with no answers or results if you don't go to the right information. But what your book is all about is saying, hey, there is a neuropermissive environment. We can prevent it. And when an acute injury happens, we can treat it to return you back to the neuropermissive environment. Don't take the kids out of sports. Don't take them off the fields. That's what, like you said, that teaches leadership, that teaches teamwork, that teaches resilience, all incredible traits that are amplified in the military. But these are things we want to continue to instill in our children and not just put a bubble around them. We want to say, hey, go play. And I love it, Dr. Lewis, because you say, hey, here's a recipe that you can go and still live life to your fullest potential.
Right. And let me be clear. We're talking about nutrition. We're not talking about pharmaceutical. We're not talking about a drug. We're not talking about a cure. We're not talking about a preventative. We're talking about nutrition. So will it work for everybody in every case? Absolutely not. But there's so no downside to doing it. And so if you have two people that look like they have the exact same injury, and this concussions and head injuries are like snowflakes. There are no two that are alike. And so you'd have two people that collide on the soccer field and they both go down. They look like, you know, had the same impact, obviously. And one might recover very quickly and one might not. And one might respond very quickly to omega-3s and one might not. But my experience has been overwhelmingly like 80%, 90%+ of people, if they do it at the levels that I'm talking about, they respond and typically respond very quickly, like within 1 or 2 or 3 days. Not fixed, not cured. And again, it's nutrition. So I'll tell a quick story of a football player that's now 61 years or 62 years old. 3 Super Bowl rings, 13 years in the NFL, all pro, 9 years, all American in college and so on, lineman. And 25 or so years after he stopped playing his last down, was having those problems. And this should probably sound familiar. Decreased energy levels, the brain fog, the cognition, not working so as well as you want, and thinking and like you're stuck in molasses, all those things that come from head injuries. And so 25 years or more, it might have been even, you know, 28 years or so after his last down in football, he started on the Omega protocol. And 3 days later, I got an email like, wow, you know, I didn't know I was supposed to have, you know, I forgot that I'm supposed to have this kind of energy and thinking this clearly. But interestingly enough, when I followed up with him a few months down the line, what he found was if he was traveling, because he's very active, he's still on one of the major sports networks and as a commentator. And when he's traveling, and if he forgets to take fish oil, throw it in a bag, and thinks he can go a couple days without it, he finds that that brain fog starts to creep back in and his energy levels start to fall off. And so he, as he says, he goes out and buys another bottle of fish oil from whatever city he's in. So it is nutrition. It's not a quick cure. It's nutrition for life.
And when you're out looking for a fish oil, what are some things you should look for on the label? Because I'm willing to bet most fish oils aren't, you know, there's probably some really bad ones out there, right?
It's an unregulated industry. So that's a really, really tough one. I mean, I've got my four or five companies that I know and trust. I actually name them in the book. And I think I even left one out. But anyway, most importantly, you want a concentrate. So you got to be able to read the labels. Most labels will say the serving size is 2 capsules. So now you got to divide everything in half. But the most important thing is you want to look for the amount of EPA and DHA in a serving. And particularly, you want to break it down really per capsule. So a 1,000-milligram capsule, which would be, it would be listed as like a gram or 1,000 milligrams of fat, should have, if you add the EPA and the DHA up, it should have roughly around 600 or more milligrams of EPA and DHA. Even better is if you can get it in a triglyceride form. So a lot of times down at the bottom of the labeling, it'll say what's the source, or it'll say as ethyl esters. Well, ethyl esters are nasty, taste horrible, they're caustic, but that's kind of the standard for the industry is, and it's horrible. Even the pharmaceutical Lavazza from GSK is an ethyl ester. It's horrible. So one of the things I do with my patients is I'll give them, if I have some samples, I'll give them fish oil capsule and I'll say, here, chew it. And you get this look like, I'm not chewing this fish oil capsule. You know, fish oil is nasty. Yeah. So I take one and I pop it in my mouth and I chew it and like, no. And they do it and like, oh, wow, that's not bad at all. That's a good fish oil. So, you know, if you were to, there's other ways to look at it. I mean, you take Lavazza, for example, or an ethyl ester, and you pop open a pills and you put it in a styrofoam cup, it'll eat through a styrofoam cup.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's probably not a good thing. So there are definitely some better brands out there, but you have to look them in. You want to find one that's in a triglyceride form, and they should actually say that on the label because that's, you squeeze a fish, that's what you get. You get triglycerides mostly.
Yeah. I've taken one of the brands you mentioned in your book, Nordic Naturals. It was a liquid type form with a lemon flavoring, and it was actually really tasty. If I got it on my beard, it would stink like lemon for the rest of the day, but it was pretty tasty. As we could see from the sign behind you, you do epic shit regularly. I wanted to ask you, what is your own diet and routine like, given what you know? How do you stay active? What do you eat on a daily basis? How do you keep yourself fit and healthy?
Let me preface that in my answer with, I've had my share of concussions. No, I've never gone to see a doctor for them. I mean, you know, high school football, you know, you just sucked it up and drove on. I played rugby at West Point. I got knocked silly more times than I can imagine. If you even went down, we all joke, you bring out the magic sponge. And that seemed to cure everything. Jumping into the desert phase at Ranger School, I woke up when I hit the ground because I must have hit the side of the plane or the Air Force had taken off I was, I think, the last in the stick. And so when I hit the jet stream, it just literally knocked me out. I didn't suck it up and say, oh, Ranger instructor, I can't go on. You sucked it up and you went on. So Additionally, my father died of Alzheimer's, and as did his mother. So it's a big concern for me personally, brain health. And so what do I do? In general, I eat more of a paleo type of diet. I try to decrease or eliminate sugars as much as possible, carbohydrates. That's not always easy when you have a teenage son who, you know, pulls out the ice cream and starts putting chocolate and caramel all over. It's like, okay, I gotta have some. But you decrease them as much as possible, you know, and cut that out. In Outback Steakhouse terms, you know, I've gone from a meat and potatoes kind of guy to a meat and vegetables guy. You know, so if I'm at a steakhouse, you know, instead of the baked potato, I get, you know, the broccoli or the vegetables. And so that's really important to me. I learned that a number of years ago and found that to be really helpful. When I was doing my retirement physical, my boss, one of the best clinicians I've ever known, and he looks at my blood work and he says, "Do you even look at carbohydrates?" Levels were so low. Hemoglobin A1C in particular is the best measure of that. And actually the last time I got my A1C checked at Bethesda, it was actually below measurable limits. So wow. I cut out carbohydrates and I take it seriously. And then I do supplementation, a good multivitamin, of course, you know, fish oil. And then as Andrew can tell you, I've gotten to know Dr. Mark Gordon fairly well over this past year and have learned so much from him and the importance of balancing your hormones. And so I adjust some things along for myself along the lines of what Dr. Gordon would say. That certainly helps keep your testosterone levels up and balance all the other nutritional factors that go into hormones. So I think it's really, really important that we can measure these things, that you get looked at and dealt with by somebody who's competent. And that's a great plug for Andrew to deal with the Warrior Angel Foundation. Of their focus is on hormones as a balance to help also with that neuropermissive environment.
Yeah, absolutely. But omega-3s, you know, are playing a huge role in that as well, in returning that brain to the neuropermissive environment. And so it's all dead on. And, you know, all this, it's no wonder that Dr. Lewis is functioning at such a high cognitive level. And, you know, that can be attained by anybody who's willing to put in the work. And it's going to take some time at first to make some changes. But, I mean, we're talking about investing in your health, in yourself, and your well-being, not only yourself, but your family. And to me, it was, no pun intended, it was a no-brainer. And, you know, these things are not hard to do. And the benefits, my gosh, are just through the roof.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, Dr. Lewis, I really want to thank you for coming on today. This has been extremely informative, and it sounds like it would be a concept that everybody could dig. You know, if you want to be healthy and protect your brain, rely on food and rely on nutrition and nutrients, rather than directly, you know, relying on pharmaceuticals or waiting until pharmaceuticals are the only possibility. But, you know, thank you for your book. Thank you for your service. And thank you for bringing this information to the world, because a lot of people need this. They need to hear it. They need to understand how to protect themselves, and they need to learn how to heal themselves.
I completely agree. And you know, broadcasts like this is, you know, a way to reach it. Reach our intended audience. It's not just, you know, the soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, but also, you know, 44 million kids play organized sports every year. you know, roughly as best as we know, 4 to 5 million people have a concussion every single year. So it's hugely important throughout our entire society. So I just make sort of three plugs here at the end, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. One is my nonprofit is brainhealtheducation.org, brainhealtheducation.org. Lots of information. Go and sign up for my newsletter. I send out a newsletter almost every week, either Sunday night or Monday morning usually. And I look at what's gone on in the last week. I pull up like 4 articles out of the news and comment a little bit on it. The other thing is make the shameless plug of When Brains Collide. And you can get it on Amazon and Kindle or paperback format. WhenBrainsCollide.com is a quick link. You click on the cover of the book, it'll take you to the Amazon site really easy. And then the third and probably the most important shameless plug is a website called WAFTBI.org, right?
Yeah, .org.
.org. The Warrior Angel Foundation, absolutely, one of the two most important veteran organizations out there is Warrior Angel Foundation. Actually, and one more shameless plug. The other one is the one that I've been supporting over the last couple of years is Boulder Crest Retreat. Have you guys familiar with that?
No, we're not. So please tell us more. And we're going to include all this in our show notes. Absolutely. For the show, so we'll have access to it, Dr. Lewis.
The really short story on Boulder Crest Retreat, which is just outside of Washington up against the Blue Ridge Mountains, was started by retired Navy SEAL EOD expert, Master Chief Petty Officer Ken Falk, and as a way to help his fellow EOD guys who he was going in to. Anyway, bottom line is he has created an absolute world-class retreat called Boulder Crest. So Boulder Crest Retreat, I'm going to say .org, but Boulder Crest Retreat. And they have cabins there. They have stables, they archery, kayaking. But they have cabins where families can learn to work together after an amputation or dealing with PTSD. And so they have 4 3-bedroom cabins designed specifically as a retreat, and they run different programs for PTSD and so on. And Ken Falk is just, and the guy retired at 20 or 21 years as an E9, a Master Chief Petty Officer. So you don't get to be an E9 in, you know, 18 years without having your stuff together. And he was an EOD guy for SEAL Team 6.
Okay.
So, wow.
Yeah, well, definitely. Awesome. We'll get offline and try to connect with him, and I definitely want to get that information out to everybody. I want to highlight something, and then I have 2 additional questions for Dr. Lewis. But Dr. Lewis is doing the research while he's still in the Army. He's uncovering these things. His question is, no one's doing the research. The response was, why don't you? And instead of bucking that or paying like, oh, that's too difficult, or I don't have the time or anything else, Dr. Lewis dug down inside and he said, no one else is doing this. I don't like it, so I'm going to find a way to fix it. And you did it, Dr. Lewis. I mean, it's not readily acceptable yet, but through your research institute, the evidence and the work you guys have put out, we now have these protocols there that we know will help regenerate and regrow the neurons in the brain. And so that's just phenomenal. I know thousands of lives have been touched because Dr. Lewis had the tenacity, he had the courage, the balls to say, I'm going after it. And I don't care what the status quo is. I don't care what the military medical model, the conventional model thinks or says. This is the right thing to do, and we're going to further the research. And so if you're looking for some a research institute to get behind, it would be Dr. Lewis's, because that's the work they're doing. So again, you know, like a true leader, Dr. Lewis, leading by example, you know, and I have the utmost respect for you and what it took to do that. So again, I just want to say thank you for that, sir. And the two questions, we kind of call them our best life questions, but how can the book, When Brains Collide, I love that title, by the way, just phenomenal. How can When Brains Collide help our audience to live their best lives? Is there anything that we haven't said that you want to go over real quick?
No, I think we really covered most of it. I'll just sort of say that there's three areas that the book covers in general. One is what type of things, from an omega-3 standpoint, how much omega-3 should you take if you are suffering the after effects of a head trauma, concussion, IED blast, and so on. So it's sort of the walking, talking, and we call it the Omega Protocol. The second area that's covered is severe traumatic brain injury, like unfortunately, if your kid's in a coma after a car accident kind of coma, what to talk to the doctors about, what's the research that's gone on there, and what most importantly in my mind is what doses to use if somebody you're having to push fish oil down a feeding tube. And then the third area, it gets into the whole resilience and prevention aspect. And I very specifically say these are the doses that I have the experience using, and I find that they work. So I don't hold back. There's no hiding the secret sauce. It's all in the book. What to do and what to take.
The book is absolutely phenomenal. It's a really easy read. You don't get just bogged down with a bunch of science that's hard to understand. Dr. Lewis did just an incredible job of breaking it down to a common denominator that's easily understood. So please go out there, get the book, leave a review. We need reviews. We need to support Dr. Lewis for all the right reasons. But the second question is, Dr. Lewis, what advice from your life would you give to someone who wants to live their best life? And this could be in any aspect of it, but some just good overall advice.
Well, besides obviously, we've talked for quite a while on nutritional aspects. I just found out this morning that a good friend of mine has metastatic lung cancer, and he's the healthiest guy you'd ever want to meet. So you don't know. I mean, you don't know what life is going to throw in your way. And so it's really to be present, make the most of each day. Your loved ones are, there's nobody more important than your loved ones, except for one is yourself. So you got to love yourself and take good care of yourself, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And so the one guiding thing that I think should be most important in everybody's mind is balance in all those aspects, and you'll do fine.
That's great advice, Dr. Lewis. Well, absolutely. from me and Chris, it's just been an absolute honor. So great show, guys. You can check us out next time. All this information will be in the show notes, and again, go out there, When Brains Collide. You need to buy the book just because of the title, and it only gets better from there.
Yep. Buy that book. And one more thing, Dr. Lewis, where do you hang out on the internet? Can people find you on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram?
I'm a little bit more on the Facebook. Not really so much on Twitter, although some things bleed over into Twitter. I'm going so many different directions. I don't have anybody to handle my social media aspect. So Facebook is kind of it for me, both personally, as well as brain health education is the tagline for Facebook, brain health ed for Twitter. And I said, every time I post something on Facebook, a friend set it up so it bleeds over into Twitter. So Facebook, but really, there's a lot of information on brainhealtheducation.org website. Then sign up for the newsletter. That's if you want to hear from me every once in a while, sign up for the newsletter.
I can tell you, I didn't know about the newsletter. I'm signing up, and we're going to push it out on our forum to thousands, tens of thousands of people. So we're going to get that information out, Dr. Lewis. Awesome.
That's awesome. It's, you know, it's all about, you know, why, you know, you like when brains collide, but how did it come up with brain health education and research? Well, brain health should be obvious. Research is fairly obvious. Research is a top-down approach, right? So we go out, you do the good science, you publish it, and you try to change how the medical community practices medicine. And trust me, we need to change it dramatically. And that's a top-down approach. The education side is my bottom-up grassroots approach. Through events like this. And so it's really important. My real hope is that we can do both and meet in the middle. I'd rather actually get published in Cosmopolitan than I would the New England Journal of Medicine, because I think we'd reach a lot more people, and moms can change the world. I mean, yep. Moms are the ones that typically are the purchasers, the grocery, the chef, and so on. You know, dads, we're just sort of along for the ride, unfortunately. I mean, some of us, you know, do better than others, whatever, but moms can change the world. And so the book was really written for that quote unquote soccer mom out there who is worried about their kids or worried about their husband or worried about their brother. And so on. So that's really important to me.
Great, Dr. Lewis. Well, we thank you so much. Chris, any last words?
No, that's about it. Definitely, you guys need to read this book, When Brains Collide, and we'll get everything up on the show notes. And Dr. Lewis, thank you again so much for everything you do and for coming on to the show today.
It's been a huge pleasure. And Chris, I just, you know, through Andrew, just learned about your efforts recently, and I'm overwhelmed about how much good you're doing out there. I already knew how much great things Andrew and his brother are doing, but I was really impressed to see all the things that you're doing and the lives and people you're touching.
So I'm humbled by that, sir. Thank you so much. And it's my pleasure, and it's my pleasure to be able to talk to you, and I'm deeply honored by being able to do this. So awesome. So there you have it. That was our interview with brain expert Dr. Michael Lewis, the author of When Brains Collide, What Every Athlete and Parent Should Know About the Prevention and Treatment of Concussions and Head Injuries. Dr. Lewis is doing absolutely amazing work for our fellow veterans, but also for humanity. And we want to help him out as much as possible. So if you're interested in this subject, definitely get out there and grab his book. We're going to have a link for it in the show notes. And we really appreciate you, and we appreciate your feedback. If you can get on iTunes and give us a review, let us know how we're doing. I will personally give you a discount code to get anything you want from the Warrior Soul store. We'll get you a 25% discount code for doing that. And we're looking forward to bringing you more awesome knowledge in the coming weeks. We've got some amazing guests lined up for you, so be on the lookout. Thank you all for listening, and live your best life.